show her God's love. No mother or father to wipe away the tears. She cries out in the night alone. Bury my heart on the mission field, Lord. I'll go to dry that young girl's tears. I'll serve you no matter where the path may lead. Lord, please bury my heart. A mother grieves for her starving child. She has no shelter from the cold. Lord, I'll give the gospel to the suffering ones. I'll go wherever you want me to go. Lord, please bury my heart. Will you ignore these lost souls in the night? Can you hear their plea? Show them the way. We must go before another one dies. Bury my heart on the mission field, Lord. These distant voices won't fade away. I'll do your will no matter the cost. Lord, please bury
Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 1, please. Actually, we're here for about 4 months, and so we've had about 47,000 people in the church that want to take us out to eat, but we're moving. We're hopping. We're only going to be here for a very short time, and we got to get back to the mission field. Amen? And that's where our heart is. You know, she sang that song, Bury My Heart on the Mission Field, and our heart is there. I will tell you, this is only the second time I've ever spoken with an iPad up here. So if it doesn't work, Brother Myers, just forgive me. And we'll just, if I start saying things that don't make any sense, it just means my battery ran out or something. And but it's good to see everyone here tonight. I'm going to watch the clock, so you won't have to. We will have 36 minutes. Now, it's very important for me to watch the clock because in Cambodia, I never preach for less than an hour to an hour and 15 minutes. Okay, so if I do that, Brother Myers will throw me in the parking lot, and we'll have a gang fight out there and a whole deal. I don't want Brother Myers to have to go to the hospital, so I'm going to make sure that that's great to be able to pick on him. Just a short amount of time, okay? All right, brother. No, I'll tell you what, it's a huge blessing for our family to come back and to see everybody right in their spot, okay? Faithfulness is very, very important. And I want to thank you, church. You know, we're not an outsider. We're not like your typical missionary that might come in and, you know, they're here every 4 to 6 years to report. We really are you, okay? And we're just an extension of what God's doing here and what God's doing here and doing in Maywood. And so, you know, I noticed this evening that our names are listed and our team's names are listed in the bulletin as being Team Southeast Asia and whatnot. But the truth of the matter is, if you, as a member of this church, are faithfully praying and you're faithfully giving, okay, not just prayers, but also giving, not just giving, but also prayers, okay, and you're doing your part here at home, you're holding the ropes here at home, you're part of the team also. You're part of what God, okay, God's not going to call every single one of you to up and leave. God calls many of us to stay right here, stay by the stuff, be faithful, and thank you for being faithful. And as the teens sang this evening, God has called each one of us to make a difference. I like that song. Teens did a good job. I can tell you put a lot of work into that. That was their first time to sing? Very nice. Very, very good. You know, it's a blessing to be able to come back, and we've been in several churches already just in the past month, and it's a blessing to be not just here at our home church, but to be in a church where we don't have to worry that the direction is totally changed and it's going to confuse my children. Have you guys, you've seen angels floating around? As I'm speaking, you're seeing angels? What is it? A moth? Okay, a mosquito. One mosquito. Okay, all right. Come visit Cambodia, sister. I'll show you mosquitoes, okay? That is not a mosquito, okay? What was I talking about? God, okay, and it's good, all right? Good. No, faithfulness here at home, and that's very, very important, okay? So, and you're called to make a difference. Now, we're called specifically to make a difference in a 1040 window. That's God's calling on my life and my family's life and the rest of the team members that have been sent out from here. But your calling is to stay here. By the way, if God calls you to leave here and go somewhere else and represent the church, and it might be Cambodia, Laos, Thailand, it might be Africa, it might be somewhere else, then follow that calling because you're called to make a difference there. And I hope, you know, I'm spending this week teaching in the college, and it's been great, and lots of pop quizzes. Okay, how many college students in here that have been in my classes? Okay, Daniel, you've been super excited and taking quizzes. What'd you get on your quiz this morning? 95, very good, okay. Brother Myers, I let the kids in the college know that it's not Sunday school, it's college. And so in college, we have quizzes. So I'm just going to recommend that you just implement that, and every time you're in there, just they see you, they have a quiz, okay? And just blame it on the team in Cambodia, because that's the way we do it over there. But we're challenging the young people in the Bible college to not just go to Bible college, but to get the training they need to make a difference in this world. How many of you know we live in a world that needs the light of the gospel? Whether it's Cambodia, whether it's Laos, whether it's Thailand, whether it's Vietnam, whether it's Long Beach, whether it's Maywood. And it's the gospel that makes a difference. You know, this evening we're going to read one verse, and I have just a few minutes here, and I want to challenge you just with maybe the story of one person's life that's been changed. I know one thing that people, what I like to hear is when missionaries come back for the field, I don't necessarily want to hear a message preached. I want to hear about lives that are being changed. You get a lot of preaching here in Long Beach. Okay, a lot of guys can come up here and preach, but if I'm back here and I have one or two opportunities to speak to you, I want to let you know how your prayers are being answered, where your missions dollars are going, and lives that are being changed. So tonight we're going to talk about the power of the gospel, but the power of the gospel to change anyone's life that comes into contact with the gospel. Has the gospel changed your life? If I were to ask you, how has the gospel changed your life, would you be able to articulate that? You know, sometimes people say, oh yeah, the gospel's changed my life. And I say, how? How are you different now than you were before? Other than that, you just go to church. Can people around you, and we're spending time talking about this in the college, that if our lives have been changed by the gospel, it ought to be evident to the people around us. And so that's an important thing. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I think I already had you open it there. Romans 1, 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Can we say the words gospel of Christ together? Okay, gospel of Christ. By the way, your team that's there in Cambodia, we're there not to preach Pacific Baptist Church. We're not there to preach American culture. We're not there to preach our own particular ideology. We're there to preach the gospel of Christ. And the gospel of Christ is what has the power. It says here, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. But I'm thankful that I didn't have to change my own life in order to be accepted by God. We come to God just like we are. There was a time in your life when you and I were enemies with God. You know, the people in Cambodia, for the most part, are at enmity with God. They're enemies of the cross of Christ. What is it that causes them to become God's child and have a changed life? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of needs in Cambodia. And I'm getting ready to bag on the kids in our Christian school for just a brief moment, and then I'll get off of that topic. But I got to say something. It has something to do with this banana right here. Okay? A couple of you might already know. A lot of needs in Cambodia. I was figuring out some of the folks in our church. Of course, most of the people in our ministries, where they live in the city or they live out in the villages, majority of them live on $2 a day or less. Now, I was in a church 2 or 3 weeks ago, and we had a question-answer time. Actually, Brother Mike Ray's church. And So he allowed them to ask questions, and a guy raised his hand sitting right over here and said, Brother Bord, I heard that in Cambodia, you can live on $1 for like a few days, just on $1. Is that true? So I edumacated him a little bit. Okay. When I say that our people, many of our people live on $2 a day or less, now some of them have much more than that. Some of them have less than that. Okay. But $2 a day, here's what $2 a day will get you. If you're going to buy gasoline, okay, how many of you like to buy gasoline? Now, it's been a bless. How many of you don't like to buy it, but you have to buy it? Okay, I should have asked that question that way, okay? It was a blessing. We got back here in America. We were down in, up in Fairfield. We paid $1.95 a gallon. I've paid $1.99 a gallon, even up in Santa Clara, $1.99 a gallon. Get down here to Long Beach, it's like $2.60. What's the problem here? Did it shoot up nationwide? Did you have anything to do with that? Okay, I don't know. I don't know, okay? But in Cambodia, we pay almost just under $5 a gallon. So you make $2 a day, you still have to buy gasoline. Gasoline's not cheaper for the guy making $2 a day than it is for the guy that makes $400 a day, okay? We think about many of our people there. Ground beef. How many of you like to eat ground beef? Okay, ground beef, tacos, lasagna, all the stuff that we like to eat while we're here in America. Ground beef for 1 pound, $8. Milk, okay, unless you grow your own cow over there, you buy milk. 1 gallon of milk, $8.80, okay? And I could go item by item by item, okay? We're in a country with a lot of needs, physical needs. Presently, many of our people, they'll work and they make an average of about 29 cents an hour. Now, I want you to think about that. I'm not going to preach about poverty tonight, but I want you to think about that because it relates to something that's just been kind of getting underneath my skin the last few days as I've been here in Long Beach and been on our campus. Okay, and again, it relates to this banana. Think about this. Your brothers and sisters in Cambodia, young, especially children in the Christian school, okay, your brothers and sisters in Cambodia who are young people just like you, have aspirations just like you, you'll spend eternity in heaven with them if you're saved. They are struggling just to survive, and their parents are making 29 cents an hour, and they don't have the opportunity to do many things that we have the opportunity to do, specifically eat food anytime we want to. And we live in a land of abundance, and praise the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for that. Just look around the auditorium here. I don't see a lot of people who are about to die of starvation. Okay, but you know what's really bothered me last few days is walking through here right after lunchtime and seeing whole pieces of fruit in the trash can. Several bananas today in the trash can. Several pieces of fried chicken. Was the school lunch today fried chicken? Okay, someone had fried chicken. Some parent in this auditorium, more than likely, bought fried chicken for your child. Was in a trash can this morning when I got here about 6 o'clock this morning. So yesterday, fried chicken wasn't touched. Looked like a brand new, maybe a thigh. And you know what, folks? We need to think about that. Okay? We live in a land of abundance. You know, there are hundreds of children in our children's ministry. She sang the song about the little girl. Okay. When I think about that, I don't just think about spiritual poverty. And, of course, spiritual poverty is the most important thing. But, you know, I think, Brother Myers, about a time when I was out for a walk and I saw a big, it's like a cart. A big cart that they put trash in. I need you to move a little bit, brother. Can you move down there? Okay. Thank you, sir. And I noticed there was something going on inside of that cart, so I walked over close to it, and there were two or three little children inside of the cart. Picture this is a trash cart, okay, probably about the size of, probably about 6 feet long, about 3 feet deep, and about 2 feet wide. Had two handles on the front, and I heard commotion inside of there. Went over there, peeked inside, and there were two or three little kids in there, and it shocked me. Now, I don't know if they lived in there. I don't know if they were playing hide-and-go-seek. I don't know what they were doing, but I got to talking to them. And, of course, my heart was broken because they were very, very poor. And you know what I wanted to do? I said, hey, stay right here. I'm going to go buy you some Coca-Cola. Kids, typically in Cambodia, our children's ministry kids, they will sit there. 100 kids will sit there, quiet. They won't move for the chance to win the quiet seat prize. The quiet seat prize is not a brand new iPad. It's not an all-expense paid trip to Disneyland. It's a can of Coke. They will sit there front and center. Snot chung. Got hidden at Yesa. They don't dare talk. Why? They want to win that can of Coke. So I told these little kids, hey, I'll be right back. I want to buy you some Coke. Do you want some Coke? They said, no, that's okay. Now, you'll never hear that in Cambodia. They'll say, yeah, I'll do anything you want for a can of Coke. I said, okay, how about I'll get you some candy? No, that's okay. We don't need any candy. I said, what do you want? And it broke my heart when they looked up at me and they said, could you buy us some water? Water? All you want is water? Yeah, could you buy us some water? And we throw bananas in the trash can. Why? Why do we do that? One reason we do that is because it was given to us for free. There was not a price. Now, a lot of us that pay taxes in here paid for this banana. Let me tell you something. That free lunch thing, okay, I don't know. It may be a great thing here, but to me, I see it. I don't like it. It's not free. Nothing's free in life, folks. So your parents didn't sacrifice to buy this banana, so you throw it in a trash can. Parents, get on your kids about that, okay? What you ought to do, teachers, if there's bananas that aren't being eaten, instead, I saw whole plates of food thrown in the trash can. I'm talking a whole plate of food. What we ought to do, we ought to have someone posted out there that would collect that food and somebody from the church gather it up and take it and give it out to the homeless folks. Or take it home or do something with it. Lots of needs around the world. We as Christians in America will be held responsible someday, not just for our soul winning, not just for did we get involved in helping to reach our Jerusalem, but our finances that God has given to us, not just the ones we put in the offering, but how we spend them, and food that came across our table that we didn't respect. Think about that. I didn't really plan to preach on that tonight. It's not in my notes, but it's kind of been getting under my skin. And so coming in as one of you, I'm not an outsider, spent more years here than most of you have spent. So I'm one of you. I'm for you. But we have a bad, bad thing going on when our kids can take this and just throw it in a trash can. Okay? You get where I'm coming from? Think about that. So our people work for 26 or 29 cents an hour. There were protests. If you get on YouTube, you can see protests where the people of Cambodia who work in the factories were protesting this past year to be able to get a salary of 69 cents an hour. They were protesting by the tens of thousands, not for $10 an hour, not for $15, not for $5 an hour, for 69 cents an hour. Okay? You know the shirt? I was in a missions conference last week, and the pastor asked for some advice, and hey, what can we do? What are some things we can do? I said, here's one thing you can do. Maybe we ought to do this also. Take your Christian school one day to the mall, give them an assignment to go to the department stores, go through the department stores, and look at the tags on the clothes that are being sold there. What countries were they made in? Okay, so you get a list of places where these clothes are made. And then you come back and you assign those young people to do research project on the culture of that land, the religion of that land, start communicating with missionaries in that land, start doing some research on this. How much did an individual actually get paid to make that dress that's being sold at Macy's for $85 or $95 or $110? How much did they actually get paid to make that? It'll break your heart if you have a heart. I remember seeing a documentary on a shirt that was being sold in Walmart for about $20, and they researched it all the way back to the source where it was made, and they discovered that the lady that made that shirt got about 18 cents for making it. It was being sold here in America for about $20. So America, Christians, Pacific Baptist Church, brothers and sisters, let's be responsible for what God's given us. And we're blessed. None of us tonight will go to bed hungry unless we choose to go to bed hungry. See, many of us will go back home. We can open our refrigerator. There's plenty of food in there. If not, we can go to a restaurant. We can get food. Most of the people in my church cannot do that. The majority of the people in our children's ministries and all the villages around Phnom Penh, hundreds of children, they'll go for weeks without eating a piece of fruit. They eat very little food. Let's be responsible. But we're not preaching about that this evening, okay? We're talking about the power of the gospel. And we live in a country there in Cambodia where about 60% of the population is under the age of 30. Now, we know this, that that's our target. And by God's grace, we're seeing many young people come to Christ. We're getting many connections. I was excited this past week to get an email from one of our team members over there. And he told me, he said, pray for these 13 university students we have an appointment with tomorrow. 13 university students have never been to our church, but are interested in hearing about what is the gospel. And praise the Lord, one of them seems like he's really serious. He started coming to church. He's not saved yet, but he started visiting services. And so we're there to take the gospel to the people, and it's the power of the gospel that will change lives. But by the way, it's not just lives that will be changed in Cambodia. You take the gospel to your neighbor's life will be changed also. You know, Tuesday night we had door knocking. We had soul winning. My family and I had the opportunity to go to California Heights. Now, I was telling the college kids today, I said, now, if Brother Myers gets a voicemail that says, somebody knocked on my door, and I had four or five signs on there saying, do not knock on my door, do not solicit, and somebody put a track on the door, it was me. Okay. Now, I'm not the one. Somebody said that they got a call here at the church that someone threw tracks in someone's yard, put it on all their cars in the driveway, and they called to say, hey, you might not want to do that. That was not me. Okay. I think that was Brother Ross. Was that you, Brother Ross? Okay. Joel, why do they blame you for everything, Joel? Man, telling you to move over and the whole, man, unbelievable, okay? But I did, I knocked on this particular door, and it said no soliciting. I figured, I already had my speech prepared. I said, now, I'm not soliciting, I'm not selling anything, I'm not going to try to get you to buy anything, I'm just going to give something away, and that's the gospel. So I was all prepared. No one answered, knocked, no one answered. So I neatly stuck the track in the door, started to walk away, and boom, the door opened. A lady was standing there, and I said, oh, and track fell on the ground. I picked it up. I'm sorry, ma'am. She pointed at the no soliciting sign. Did you see that? I said, yeah. She said, no soliciting. And I gave her my little spiel, and she pointed again, no soliciting. And I said, I'm sorry. I just want to give this to you. If we can be a blessing to you. Make a long story short, 40 minutes later, I got done talking to her at her door. She invited us in, gave us a what kind of water was it, Josh? Fiji water? All I know is that water in Phnom Penh is $3 for one. Okay, it's not cheap here either. Invited us in. She's a Jehovah's Witness. Her 19-year-old son is a Jehovah's Witness. Big, burly guy. I'm glad he liked me. Okay, we talked for 40 minutes. And by the time we got done, she said, I have so much respect for you guys. Coming out here, this, and she da-da-da-da-da. And of course, kept planting the seeds of the gospel. She said, you're doing the same thing we're doing. We'll just have a different message. And I said, yeah, we do have a different message. We talked back and forth. Of course, you know, a Jehovah Witness will not take a tract from you. How many of you know that? They won't take it. You can stand on your head. You can beg them. You can offer to pay them. They will not touch your tract. That's part of their religious, that's part of their upbringing. But of course, I took their tract. I'm not scared of their book. Actually, she said, stay right here. I've got something for you. She went in. She got me this book. Very nice. Full color. What does the Bible really teach? And she wanted to exhort me. And I said, okay. I said, I actually have one of these in my office in English and in Cambodian. And we got to talking. And I said, you know, the interesting thing is I don't even live here. I said, I'm just visiting. And my church is out doing door knocking tonight and sharing the hope of the gospel in Jesus Christ. And so we want to be part of that. I said, I live in Cambodia. Her eyes got really big. She said, Cambodia? She said, my son has been wanting to visit Cambodia. So to make a long story short, since my time's about up here and I haven't got to tell the main story I want to tell tonight, she said, by the time it got done, they gave me their full address, two phone numbers, their email address, complete name, with the understanding that he's going to come visit Cambodia. And I said, I won't preach at you the whole time you're there, but I will watch out for you so you don't get ripped off or beat up, or kidnapped, or whatever. And the mother said, you can preach at him. We respect each other. Hey, you know what? I have hope for that young man. If he comes and visits Cambodia, we're going to gang up on him and show him love and show him friendship and show him how to get around Cambodia. And we're going to win him to the Lord. It's the power of the gospel. Amen. Doesn't matter. No soliciting or solicit. It's the power of the gospel. There in Cambodia, we've seen the power of the gospel over and over reach lives. You know, I've told the story a couple years ago about a man I led to Christ here. His name is Sinat. About 4 years ago, led him to Christ. And he lived right in front of our church and took about 4 or 5 months, but going over there almost every evening and talking with him and reasoning with him as the Apostle Paul did, reasoning with him and some dialogue back and forth. The day came when he got saved, and he knew he was saved. His wife got saved about 5 months later. His children got saved, and he had a burden for soul winning, but he was scared to talk to his family back in the village. Now, he would bring us to his village about 2 hours from Phnom Penh, and we would go there, and we'd hand out tracts, and we'd try to witness, and we witnessed to his mother. But, you know, the day came when his mother got very, very ill. His mother was up in her mid-70s, got very ill, and Sinat became convicted that he ought to go and witness to her, but he was scared. And he brought me probably a few days before she passed away, and we witnessed, and she rejected it. She said, you know, the gospel is good for you, but I'm a Buddhist, and I was born a Buddhist, and I'm Cambodian, and you do whatever religion you want, but for me, I'm a Buddhist. And she died, and she went to hell. And it really, really, really shook up Sinat. I mean, it really, really shook him up. You know, it's an amazing thing. I think about this. But about 2 weeks ago, we looked in the newspaper, turned on the internet, turned on CNN, and we saw that the Jordanian pilot in a cage, and he was burned alive by the demonically possessed ISIS people there. Was it Syria? I think it was Syria. And you remember looking at the reports and watching and listening as the leaders in Jordan were enraged. And that rage and that anger and that desire to revenge compelled them to take action. And for the last several days, at least a few days following that event, what did they do? Did they just sit back and let that rage boil? No, they took action and began doing bombing raids and revenging the life of their brother, of their soldier. And we here in America, I'm sure we looked at that and we were outraged that people would be that evil and that wicked. And many of us have never been exposed to that type of just depravity. But you know, it's a shame, as I was thinking about that, it's a shame that Jordan didn't get enraged before their pilot was burned to death. Burned alive. It's a shame that they didn't jump in and try to do what they could before that happened. You know, it's a shame that Brother Sinat had to get really motivated and burdened in a super, super way and get that boldness after his mom died and went to hell. But that's what it took in his life. Now, I'm wondering this evening, what is it going to take in your life and in my life to make us to get serious about making a difference? Is it going to take some great catastrophe? Is it going to take us losing some loved one that we haven't been bold enough to witness to, that we've just been kind of playing around with and just enough to soothe our conscience, but we think, that's okay. They're young. We still have time. And so Brother Sinat got on the ball. He really got motivated. And to make a long story short, he's actually serving alongside our team full-time now, 6 days a week. Ministry, is a great soul winner, is very passionate about spreading the news of the gospel. And about 3 months ago or so, somewhere around there, he began began soul winning to this lady named Grandma Long. Grandma Long. Now, Grandma Long's about 86 years old. 86 years old. Grandma Long is a Buddhist nun. Grandma Long, as an 86-year-old lady, wore only white. She lived in a temple. She had a shaved head. And she has osteoporosis and walks like this. And Brother Sinat would go to the village, he would go to the temple, he would go wherever he could take the gospel, and he began meeting people, and he met Grandma Long, began sharing the gospel with her. And he was patient with her, and he showed her scriptures, and he reasoned with her, and he talked with her. He told her something one day that shocked her. He told her something that, as an 86-year-old lady, she had never known before. He told her, "Grandma, you are not the product of evolution. You didn't come from a monkey. You're not a product of nature. There's a God in heaven who is the creator God, and he created you, and he created you for a purpose, and he knows you. He cares about you. He loves you. He knows your name. He knows where you're at." Grandma was shocked. She had no idea that there was a God who had created her. You see, her entire life, to her, God was sticks, stones, idols that have eyes but can't see, they have ears, but when she would cry to them, she would beg them for help, it would seem as though they couldn't answer her, they couldn't hear her. She was worshiping idols. And so, see, not told her there's a God in heaven, and this God in heaven knows you, he created you, he loves you, you're created for a purpose. And God began working in her heart, the Holy Spirit began convicting her, showing her that this is truth, and drew her to the Savior, and she got saved. Amen? It was the power of the gospel. That's the good news. The bad news is this. As a nun, she lived at the temple. Well, the monks, of course, they know how this thing works. They've seen these soul winners come through before. And they've seen many, many people in Cambodia sit through this little spiel, little Romans Road, listen to this, raise your hand, pray this prayer, and you get a bunch of free medicine, and the missionary will go back to America, and you go right back to Buddhism. They assumed that's what it was for Grandma. The only thing they didn't know about us is we don't give away anything. We don't give away medicine. We don't teach you free English. We won't build you a new house. There's groups there that will build you a brand new house if you join their religion. We had a grandpa just down the street from our church a couple weeks before I came here to the States. He said, "Pastor, pray for me. They're coming to my village tomorrow, and they're giving out lottery tickets from their organization, from their church. And if I can win, then I get $1,000. He says, "So I might be gone next week. If I win, then I have to visit their church." Oh, great. We don't give away anything except the gospel. And that wasn't free. And so they were patient with Grandma. They assumed she was just kind of one of these rice Christians. But after about 2 or 3 weeks of Grandma not sacrificing to the idols anymore, not doing the ceremonies she was supposed to do, the head monk approached her and said, "Grandma, okay, it's time. You've taken this thing far enough. Have you got your free rice? Have you got your free house? We know they're not teaching you English. You're too old. So what value is there in you being with these people anymore?" And Grandma said, "Well, I'm a child of God now." Make a long story short, they said, "Okay, if you're a child of God, then you trust God. You can't live here anymore. Let God take care of you." And they booted her out. So she went back to the village and lived with a couple of her children. Well, her children didn't know how deep her faith was either. One day, probably about a month and a half ago, she came to Phnom Penh, and she got baptized. If you look on our blog site, you'll see, probably about a month and a half ago, you'll see Grandma alone getting baptized. Okay? We don't baptize in a horse trough like we used to in the early days here. We baptize in this big water tank that's cut in half, and Grandma, with osteoporosis, had to climb up in there. I was afraid she was going to pass on and go to heaven right there in the water. It was scary, okay? Baptized really careful with her, and man, she's got a lot of energy for being 86 years old. She doesn't know the words to the songs yet, but she kind of taps her foot as we're singing. And we sing, "I have decided to follow Jesus." Well, she likes that one. She kind of tries to clap a little bit. It's precious. So she got baptized, went back to the village 2 hours from Phnom Penh. And one day, probably about 2 weeks later, which now is about 4 weeks ago, 4.5, 5 weeks ago, her children came to her and said, "Now, Mom, you've taken this thing far enough. Okay, you already got kicked out of the temple, and when that happened, you caused shame. Our whole village knows that you have betrayed our culture and our religion, and you're old enough to know better, and why don't you just go ahead and call it quits? They're not going to teach you English, Mom. They're not going to give you free medical care. They're not going to build us a house. They're not going to do anything that's worth any value. Come back to your religion and quit causing all of us shame in this village. And Mom, if you decide not to come back to the temple and not to go with the flow, not to just be like the rest of us, then you're going to have to leave. We don't want you around anymore." Imagine that, her adult children, specifically in a Cambodian Buddhist culture where the adult children are required to care for their elderly parents. But they hated the gospel so much. And they hated what it had done in Mom's heart and life and the changes that had taken place. Not changes that missionaries can cause. but changes that the Holy Spirit had done in her life. And they said, Mom, if you don't get with it and come back, we're kicking you out. And you know, she looked at them and she said, Children, when I was a Buddhist nun, I would go to bed every night worried that I would die and go to hell. I would go to bed every night worried that if I died, would I be reincarnated? Would I have enough merit to be able to have a good life when I'm reincarnated? I had no hope of making it to heaven. Until one day I heard that Jesus Christ loved me, died for me, paid the price for my sin, and I believed that and I accepted it. Now I'm on my way to heaven. I have hope. Children, I love you, and I love my culture, and I want to be here, and I love being here with you, but I'm not going to turn my back on my Savior. And you know what they did? They said, Mom, you've got a choice. 3 weeks ago, no, 4 weeks ago, I'm sorry, she showed up to church in Phnom Penh, which was strange, because she lives 2 hours from Phnom Penh. She goes to one of our village churches. She sat right up here on the front row on the left side. And I saw her right before the service started. I went over to her and I kind of knelt down. I thought she was there to say goodbye to us because we were leaving that next morning to come to the United States. I said, Grandma, we're leaving tomorrow to come to go to America and we'll be praying for you. And she said, Oh, I didn't know you're going to America. How long are you going to be there? I said, Just a very short time. I said, We'll be praying for you. She said, Will you ask the Christians in America to pray for me also and pray that I will have wisdom to know God more? She said, I want to know more about God. I want to know more about my Savior. I said, Grandma, I'll do that. I'll tell people all around America that you love Jesus and that you want to have more wisdom and ask them to pray for you. She said, Thank you. I said, Grandma, don't forget to pray for I won't forget to pray for you. I did not know the reason she was in the front row in the Phnom Penh church is because that week she'd been kicked out of her home. She had nowhere to go. And another individual who is a son who now claims to be saved, lives the next city over, allowed her to come and stay with him temporarily. What is it that would cause an 86-year-old lady to, with joy, the same week she was kicked out of her home, just a few weeks after being totally kicked out of her village, what would cause her to sit in the front row, tap with the music, clap her hands to, I have decided to follow Jesus, say, Pastor, will you help pray that I'll have wisdom? Will you tell my brothers and sisters in America to pray for me to have wisdom, to know God more? What would cause her to do that? The power of the gospel. And you see, you got to understand this. Anytime the gospel comes into contact with a lost soul, the gospel has the potential to change a life just like that. Anytime in our life, okay, we say we have been in contact with the gospel, we are God's child, but our life does not reflect a change similar to Grandma's, we have to ask ourselves, are we saved? See, because the Bible says if any man is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things are past, but they're not perfect. None of us in here are perfect. But certainly there's a lot of evidence in Grandma's life that she's born again. By the way, your missionaries there in Cambodia and Southeast Asia or other places around the world, we ask people to simply obey God's word. We don't ask people to do things for us. I would never dare to ask Grandma to take a stand to make me happy, or to make our church happy, or to make the Americans in America, the Christians in America, happy. But we unreservedly stand up and say, Grandma and other folks in the church, take a stand for Christ in your community, no matter what, and trust God that He'll care for your needs. Why? Because God is worthy of our devotion like that. Why? The power of the gospel. We're going to close here. We're right on time. But here's the question. Has the power of the gospel changed your heart? Or are you, as an American Christian who claims to be saved, are you still living, you still thinking, you still, your thought process, your values, the philosophies in your life, the things that determine what you do and why you do them, are they worldly based, are they fleshly based, or do they stem out of this life that's been radically changed by the gospel? My challenge tonight would be, if we're saved, live like we're saved. Let that power of the gospel be seen by those around you. Do your children, do your nieces, your nephews, your grandchildren, your friends at work, the people in your neighborhood, can they see that there is a radical difference in your life now that you're saved compared to before you were saved? Everybody in grandma's life, they know unequivocally where she's at spiritually. They know she no longer worships sticks and stones. She no longer worships idols. She no longer lives in fear that the demons are going to kill her, torment her. She now has peace in her heart, and she's in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can that be said about you and me? You know, if we're the type of Christian who lives just like the world, talks like the world, has the same values as the world, why would the world want to become like us? We're spending time this week in 1 Thessalonians in the Bible college, and over in there, Paul refers to this. You know how we love you. You've seen how we love you. You know that we travail day and night to see you be conformed to the image of Christ. When I could no longer forbear, he says that two times in chapter 3. He says, I could not wait to know your spiritual condition. I wanted to make sure you're okay with God, you're right with God. Do we have that in our life also? Do we have this desire to want others to know we're right with God? Do we have the desire to make sure those around us are right with the Lord? Or is church just something we do? Throw a little money in the plate. We're happy because in all the churches in America, let me tell you, there is no church in America, to the best of my knowledge, in our circles or outside of our circles, that's making a bigger impact in Cambodia than our church here. Praise the Lord for that. But you know what? That's nothing to be proud of. That's just normal. God raised up this church for that purpose. That's one of the purposes. But you back home here, okay, has the gospel changed your life like it's changed the lives of many, many people there in Cambodia? And by the way, I have to ask myself that on a regular basis. Am I living as a new creature, a new creation? Okay, so easy for our flesh to draw us right back into the old life, is it not? Okay, maybe not a life of gross sin, but a life of living for self, a life of comfort, a life of not seeing the blessings that are around us on a daily basis. Thinking, we don't even think. We do things like this, throw it out, we don't think. God's going to hold us responsible for that. The power of the gospel. Thank you, church, for being faithful. Thank you for allowing our team to be there. We hope and we pray that God will continue to build this church here. And people there in Cambodia, it's interesting. People there in Cambodia download your messages and watch them. It's shocking. They'll tell me things about something you said in a message. I hadn't heard that before. I'm like, where'd you hear that? Oh, yeah, Pastor Meyer said it on Vimeo. Like, wow. They'll download this. That's why I make sure I don't tell any lies because the people in Cambodia will be watching, okay? Those that speak English. So, all right, let's stand together. We're going to close.